Hello, my name's Colin from Simply DV, and welcome to another podcast. Hello and welcome back. It's only been a month or so since the last podcast, so I'm getting better at this stuff as you can tell. I don't know why it is, I just don't seem to have enough time these days to do the things that matter, and although I'm writing less and less reviews, features and so on for magazines these days, and nor am I committing to writing any more books for the time being as well, I just don't seem to manage to find the time to turn out a minimum of one podcast a month. Now, let's face it, it's not that difficult, but it just gets pushed further down the list with each new day. And some of you do write to me to say that you enjoy listening to the podcasts and you find them useful. You also ask me, why don't I do more and why don't I do them regularly? The answer is, I just can't get my act together, basically. That's what it's all about. And in which case, I apologise. But I'll do my best to get more regular podcasts out during 2008. We'll see. Anyway, as we approach the end of February 2008, already, where has it gone? And outside my window here, we have a beautiful blue spring sky here in southeast England. And I thought, what the heck, let's just get another one sorted. So, here we are. Now, it's strange to think that in that short time, so much has happened in the world of digital video. We've had new product launches. I've actually been to see quite a lot of new product for the coming season, and I've had some very interesting conversations with some key product engineers about camcorder formats, compression systems, solid-state memory and all that stuff. And I've also been trying out various methods of importing and editing high-definition video from solid-state memory cameras and hard disk drive camcorders into both my Apple Macs and Windows PCs, with some varying success, and I'll talk about that in a moment. I've also been looking around for software that will effect file conversions from the format that I admittedly always seem to be talking about lately, namely the AVCHD high definition format, into something that's of use to people whose computers can't directly handle the complex AVCHD clip files, whose file extension is .mts, produced by the likes of Panasonic's HDC range and also Canon's HG range of camcorders. And again, I'll talk about this in my pick of the month later in this podcast, okay? I've got a bit of software that I want to draw your attention to, because for those of you who are having problems, it may be a good bridge from the camcorder to the computer. Now, a couple of people have emailed me in the last couple of weeks to ask why it is that I appear to talk and write a lot about new product from the likes of Canon and Panasonic, and not very much about Sony. As those of you who do join in the fun over on our Simply DV forums will know, I enjoy having an extended play with any camcorder and related device that a company is willing to lend me for the purposes of review. And once I've had a go at using any given product for a sensible amount of time, I'll share my thoughts about it with the rest of you. However, in order to review the things, I have to handle them. In other words, they have to say to me, "Hey, Colin, me old mate, would you like us to send you one of our shiny new products for the purposes of a fair and objective review in the hope that you might say something complimentary about them?" And my response is nearly always, "Oh, that'd be very nice of you. Please send one over with the utmost haste and I will give it my undivided attention." And so they do. And not only that, dear listener, but I can assure you that they read the reviews and they distribute them internally. They listen to the podcasts, you know who you are, and here's the good one, they very secretly browse the posts in our forums. How do I know? Because more than one little birdie has told me they do. So there. And what does that tell you? Well, the aforementioned Canon, Panasonic, and, not forgetting JVC, bless them all, have been extremely accommodating in making their new product available to me for the purpose of good, constructive reviews. And if you do read what I write in my reviews, you'll know that I do go to great efforts to look at a product in great depth and consider all the kinds of things that the people at whom the products are intended will want to know. Maybe that's you. But as I've said, I have to have the product in order to be able to do that. Now, since I started SimplyDV over 6 years ago, I've reviewed an enormous number of camcorders and I've seen some staggering technological advances in that time, not to mention ever-decreasing selling prices, it should be said, as well. But I couldn't have done so if the major product manufacturers weren't forthcoming with samples of their product. Now, today, there are literally hundreds of sources of camcorder reviews online, but I'm sorry to say that very few of them, and I do count SimplyDV as one of them, and I don't care what anybody says, provide you, the consumer, with anything like an honest and objective review. Most of them seem to tag on a throwaway comment to what is effectively a regurgitation of the published specifications. Is that what you really want? I don't think so. And nor do I think it reasonable to criticise a low-cost, great-for-absolute-beginners camcorder with a comment like, "It's okay, but the image quality is less than perfect when shooting in a black hole," sort of thing. Now, let's be honest, that is just stupid and irresponsible. But unfortunately, it does typify the quality of so-called reviews that are out there. And for the record, you won't get perfect low-light performance from a very low-cost starter model camcorder, and I don't really care what anybody says. You won't even get it from a professional camcorder costing lots of pennies. But there are lots of reviewers out there who've never used a professional camcorder, so perhaps that explains it. And it's because I do check out what's going on around the web on a near daily basis that I've noticed that there are lots of websites with which provide so-called gadget reviews, which say very little of any practical use to someone considering parting with their hard-earned cash in return for a camcorder or whatever. And again, is that what you as a consumer really want? I'm sure that there are lots of people who probably do, but I'm pretty confident that the majority of regular listeners to SimplyDV want a review which is the product of the reviewer having spent more than 10 minutes waving a camcorder around the editorial office, or, worse still, taking pictures of a new product on a stand in an exhibition booth and claiming an exclusive review. I mean, please. Now, I know that the market has changed, and because a good camcorder costs a fraction of what it did 5 years ago, people won't necessarily spend a lot of time poring over detailed reviews of a new product before buying. But then again, there are people who do, and I know that because you contact me and tell me. I know that a modern camcorder isn't a lifelong product these days, but it still costs money. And that's why I always attempt to use a new product in very real situations, usually with my family and on occasions when I go away on holiday or whatever. But I try very hard to use it as you would use it in similar contexts if you bought it. And that way, I think I'm better placed to advise you as to what it can and cannot do. And you're much more inclined to trust my judgment on that basis. And I think that's only fair. And of course, it works in favour of both of us. Now, the one thing that inspired me following my review back in late September last year, 2007, of the Panasonic HDC-SD5 AVC-HD camcorder, the one that records only to SD memory card, and which, without telling Panasonic, I sneaked into my suitcase en route to a trip through Andalusia in Spain, was that people contacted me afterwards to say how they appreciated what I call a real-world, real-life review, in which it was obvious that I used the camcorder extensively and on which I based my review. Now, to me, that seems the only logical way to review a product, and it's certainly the way I've always tended to do things when possible, although I guess I've never really made much of it. I always use a camcorder in and around the home, and I always shoot loads of stuff on it. I'll also attempt to get whatever clips I've recorded into both my Apple Mac and a Windows PC, preferably using the software that comes bundled with the camcorder. The result, of course, is that I've got a huge collection of home movies on DVD, some of the original stuff dating back 30 years or more as it happens, but, you know, we won't go there, having been acquired with innumerable camcorders that have long since come and gone. Now, I know for a fact that there are lots of reviewers who don't even bother attempting to edit the test material they've shot, let alone the bundled software to do it with. And as a perfect example of this, look at the reviews of the new generation of flash memory camcorders from the Canons, the Panasonics and the Sonys of this world to see if there's any mention of the potential problems that exist in importing and editing clips recorded in the AVCHD format. The answer is not very many. But if you scour the various user forums, SimplyDV's own wonderful forums included, you'll see that the ease, or lack of, editing AVCHD sourced clips is the primary concern of such users. Handling AVCHD is the big problem at the moment, and to get around it, you'll need a highly spec'd Windows or Apple Mac computer system. You just cannot do it with a bog-standard Pentium 4 machine or non-Intel Apple Mac. It just won't work. Mind you, having said that, hang on for my pick of the month, because I'll be talking about a bit of software that kind of makes that job easier. So don't go away. Anyway, if you do have such souped up resources, then it really shouldn't be a big deal. Several camcorder manufacturers, however, are choosing to dodge this issue, with the result that they're stacking up negative public relations issues with their customers and, just as important, their potential customers. And that's why they have to think carefully about this. I was with one camcorder manufacturer last week, who shall remain nameless, and one of the discussions that we had revolved around this particular issue. And I've got to say, to their credit, that they did take a lot of notes and we did have a good discussion about the implications of all this stuff. And I'm pretty confident that on the basis of that, they're going to take back, you know, the notes that they have made and obviously the debriefing meeting that they made on the basis of our meeting back to Japan, and they're going to have a look at this. They did promise that they were going to consider this much more seriously, so you know, I'll give them credit. Anyway, I've recently used both my PCs and my Mac to import and edit clips from the Panasonic HDCSD9, the HS9, which is the HDD hybrid version, and also Canon's HG10, which I featured as camcorder of the year for 2007. Now, all of these models shoot AVCHD high definition. The HS9 and the HG10 use high-capacity SD cards as well as hard disk drives to save their clips, and potentially they can present users with problems with importing, editing, and sharing those clips. So that's why I've done the best I can to test them in the manner intended using the software provided. And I'm happy to report that the above models behaved impeccably, not just with my Apple Intel iMac using iMovie 08 and also Final Cut Pro 6, but also on a Core 2 Duo 3 GHz processor, Windows XP PC using 2 gigs of RAM, and using also bundled software like the HD Writer 2.5 that comes with the Panasonics. Some people have, through our forums and otherwise, reported problems with sound when creating desktop video exports in MPEG-2 using the previous version 2 of HD Writer, the version that came with the Panasonic SD5 and the SX5. And so I was keen to ensure that this problem has been resolved in the latest version. And it has. But the point is that I wouldn't have known this if I hadn't tested it for myself. And what that implies is that we've got to take a slightly bigger picture than just looking at the camcorder alone these days. AVCHD, as I've mentioned several times, is an extremely good video compression system that utilises the wonderful H.264 codec from a company called Main Concept in Germany. But it's a very difficult compression format to edit easily and natively, so it's important that consumers are aware of such issues before they buy and use tried and tested solutions. Sometimes those solutions might not be the ones that are provided by the various manufacturers either. And in terms of handling AVCHD clip files, the answer, of course, is that it's really necessary to upgrade to a high-spec PC or Mac in order to achieve what you want to achieve. That's just a sad fact. You've got to do it. In the same way that you would if you wanted to watch high-definition TV, you'd have to buy an HD TV display. So, that brings us back to the issue of product samples, and what does all this ramble of mine have to do with it? Well, the point is that people are noticing that some camcorders, and in particular those from Sony, I have to say, are using a form of AVCHD that doesn't seem quite so compatible with one or more third-party video editing applications. Others are finding that there are some early compatibility issues with the playback of Blu-ray discs from different camcorder brands, depending upon the make of the player used. And it seems that Canon and Panasonic AVCHD products are more Apple Mac friendly than Sony products, even though Apple is the one company that has produced a range of computers using Intel Core chips that has effectively removed any such problems with camcorders that carry the AVCHD label. At least, that's the theory. Now, why is this? And is it in fact true? Now, I know that there's no such problem with Canon and Panasonic products because those companies have bent over backwards to enable me to test them, and all credit to them. So what's the problem with Sony? And the answer is, I don't know. And do you know why I don't know? Because Sony UK seems very reluctant to let us, and when I say us, I mean other people in my position as well as me, to try out their new products. A, for the purposes of general review, and B, in order to test wider compatibility issues with other third-party hardware and software makers. I do know, however, that Sony AVCHD and, as it happens, HDV as well as mini-DV camcorders worked perfectly well with the latest version of Sony's own and very fine Vegas video editing software. Vegas is very good, but I've had little experience of late with Sony's recent AVCHD camcorder offerings, and I've certainly not tested any of the Sony stuff with third-party applications of late. And whilst I'm at it, I'm not the only one, either in the UK, Europe, or even in the USA, who is encountering these continuing problems. I've spoken to other reviewers, and even proper journalists, doesn't include me, on both sides of the Atlantic, who are having the same problem getting new product samples out of Sony in order to give you a fair, objective assessment of their worth. But if you look in the gadget mags, you know the sort, the ones that write 150 words proclaiming just how cool this latest new camcorder is and how it'll make you look really fab and groovy, as they used to say back in the days when life was in black and white and when music came on funny circular bits of plastic with holes in the middle. But for those of us who'd like to consider a product in more depth, as people who can actually think for themselves deserve, I'm afraid we appear to be left out in the cold. So I'll leave it to you, dear listener, to make up your own mind. Maybe, just maybe, things will change soon. Meanwhile, I'd like to extend a big thank you to Canon, Panasonic and JVC for all their cooperation of late. And maybe at the end of 2008, I can give credit to all of the major brands for their cooperation in helping me to help you to make the right decision. Okay, enough of the whinging. I mentioned at the beginning that I'm doing a sort of pick of the month feature in this and hopefully subsequent podcasts. And this month, I want to talk about the fabulous bit of software that an American developer called Shedworks, spelled S-H-E-D-W-O-R-X, Shedworks, which will hopefully solve all of the major problems experienced by people using either PCs or non-Intel Macs to import and edit files recorded in AVCHD. Yes, it's called Voltaic HD, V-O-L-T-A-I-C HD, and it's a piece of software designed for use on not only Macs, but also Windows and Vista PCs. The Shedworks homepage tells us that Voltaic HD lets you convert your AVCHD footage into a format that you can edit in a PC or Mac using your preferred editing software. Now, of course, if you're using an Intel Mac like I do, and something like iMovie 08, which comes pre-installed with all new Macs, you won't really have a problem and you won't necessarily need Voltaic either. But if you're attempting to import and edit AVCHD sources into the previous version, iMovie HD, on a non-Intel Mac, then you'll need something like this to act as a sort of go-between. and it does it perfectly. Now, I'm using Voltaic on a Apple Mac G4 Mac running OS 10.4, that's Tiger. So I can't just plug in an AVCHD camcorder or an SDHC card containing AVCH clips. I need to use an in-between. And in this respect, Voltaic HD does the job perfectly. It provides that really useful bridge between the AVCHD source clips and iMovie HD. And of course, the results are the same on Windows PCs as well, although I haven't tested it. I know people who have. If you're using a Windows XP or Vista PC and you're happy to use Windows Movie Maker, most commonly Movie Maker version 2, then the PC version of Voltaic HD, which is available on the ShedWorks website, will help you to convert the incoming MTS clip file types created by AVCHD camcorders into the AVI files required by Movie Maker in either Type 1 or Type 2 as required. I can't remember what it needs now, but I'm sure it'll do both. Now, I haven't used the Windows version personally, but I have used the Mac version, and it's very, very good. The quality of conversion is completely transparent, to my eyes at least, and given that it's received some very good reviews, I'm confident that it's all you'll need to bridge what I call the AVCHD gap. You can get it from shedworks.com. I spelt it to you previously, and I'll spell it again. It's shedworx.com. It's not free. It'll cost you $30, which in the UK is a mere 15 quid. What can you buy for 15 quid? And ShedWorks itself is doing lots of really good stuff. So, I really recommend them. Right, well, that's it for this podcast. I've talked for much longer than I intended, and as I've got other stuff to be getting on with, I'll call it a day. However, I'll be back with more podcasts very soon, because I reckon I'll be in a position to start reviewing some of the new stuff that'll be coming in from Canon, in addition to a couple of standard definition offerings, hopefully from Panasonic, hint if they're listening, and something even from JVC. Another perhaps surprising product that I'm going to be reviewing is one that I've been playing with right now, and that's an interesting solid-state HD camera bearing the label ApeTech. Yeah, ApeTech. You got it right. You never know, we might even have something to review from Sony as well, but I'm not counting my proverbial chickens quite so soon. Anyway, that's it from me. I'll be back with another scintillating podcast very soon. Meanwhile, this is Colin from Simply DV saying thanks for listening and see you soon. Bye.